Esau. Now, there's another part of it, and he spoke also about the brachas. Now there's something, the parasha has another big topic. That's the topic of the Be'eros. And Yitzchak's dug wells all over Eretz Yisrael, especially in the south. And the Torah spends a lot of time on the wells of Yitzchak Be'eros. Dug, those were Avraham Avinu's wells, were stuffed up by the Plishtim. He redug them, and then he dug, it says, three wells. One was called, they had two first wells that gave him trouble, the Plishtim, Asek, and then Sitna. The third well was fine, it was called the Chovos. And then he dug another well, apparently it was Avraham Avinu's well, Be'er Sheva. He redug the well of Be'er Sheva. So the Torah spends very long. Almost the Torah spends as much time about the wells of Yitzchak as with the brachas of Yaakov and Esau. But it's very, mysterious. What's so important about the wells? The Ramban asked the question, what's so important about to spend so much time? I mean, Pashup Shah, he was showing that you have to develop Eretz Yisrael. So mice are the similar bonim. So we have to build Eretz Yisrael. Get a mitzvah. The Ramban says in the halacha that it's a mitzvah. Any time you do anything to improve the country for people, you're getting a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz. They do this work on the street. In Israel, you're getting, every time you put another pipe in, you're getting a mitzvah of Yishuv Haaretz as well. So Yitzchak, he was Osek in Yishuv Haaretz as well. Still, it's a very mysterious, enigmatic focus, why the Torah spends so much time. So Ramban says, Ramban is a very nice pshat. He says it has to do with history, that each well represents a different Beis HaMikdash. So the first well which he dug and just pushed him, tried to steal it from him, that's Bais Rishon, the first Beis HaMikdash, which eventually was destroyed by the Babylonians. Second well, which is even worse, has a worse name, Sitnov, hatred. That second well was the second Beis HaMikdash. The image was even worse for the Jews than the first. That's the Golos of Edom, the tremendous Golos that we're in for thousands of years. And finally, the third well, Rechovos, that represents the Bayis Shlishi, third Beis HaMikdash, that'll be forever. The Rechovos, open space, quiet, be very good. And that's how the Ramban learns the symbolism of the story, because it involves the whole Jewish history. Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Bayis Shlishi. And even says Be'er Sheva, the fourth well, is Mishkan Shiloh, the Mishkan of Shiloh before the Beis HaMikdash. Shemesh Shmuel has a different pshan, a completely different approach, what the symbolism is. He based on something his father, Avnei Nezer, said. He says a very interesting thing. There's a pasuk. I think it's in Koheles. Pasuk says like this: Ma'im amukim, eitz of belevish, v'ish tevunos yidlena. Very deep waters are to be found in the human heart. A wise man knows how to draw upon the waters. It's a very interesting statement that Shlomo HaMelech says. He says, within the human heart is very deep waters, but a wise man knows how to draw out these waters. So in simple pshat, means that the human being has tremendous potential, untapped potential, which most people basically never get into. Most people live very superficial lives. They never tap into their deep recesses of their heart and mind. But a wise person will tap into that deep water. That's what the pasuk says. Okay. So the Shemesh Shmuel and his father, they want to develop this pasuk. What the idea is. So first of all, like this. It says, what does it mean? What are these deep waters which are within the human being, but they're covered up, it looks like. In other words, like this, the mashal is a well is under the water is under the ground. Before you dig the well, you just see regular ground there. You don't know that underneath is wonderful water there. You live in the desert. You need this. You don't know. Nowadays, an oil well might be oil, but you don't know if it's regular ground. So there's something covering up this treasure, the ground. And someone who's wise, he knows how to figure it out. He knows that there's water or oil underneath. He digs the hole and he gets it. So we have to, in other words, there's a barrier. There's a barrier. That barrier is so thick that you don't even realize that there's a treasure below the surface. If you dig, sometimes you dig very deep, you get rid of the barrier, and then the treasure, the water comes up or the oil comes up. Everybody's happy. So that means like this. For what does it mean for human beings? We're saying that Shlomo says it's belevish. This is the situation of a human breast, a human heart. It means like this. We all have an amazing potential to connect to Hashem. More than angels. Because the human being is more spiritual in potential than even a malach. Much more. The souls of human beings come from a much higher level in creation than the souls of angels, that the Zohar says. The souls of human beings, especially Jewish souls, come literally from the highest level of creation, right by the God's holy chair, Kisei HaKavod. The angels come from lower areas of creation. So we have the greatest of souls. It means we can literally be connected to Hashem every second. Can be aware of it. But the problem is that there's a block, there's a barrier to this thing, this spiritual reservoir which is within us. There's a barrier called physicality, the goof, the physical life is an antithesis of the spiritual. The goof is the opposite of the neshama. God made a paradox. He made a human being, put a beautiful neshama into a goof. The goof is literally dirt. Because when we die, we go back to the dirt. The goof goes back. So it's an unbelievable barrier that something completely devoid of spirituality, the physical, tends within it a tremendous reservoir of spirituality. So the big problem is, how do we break through the barrier? How do we break through the barrier? How do you dig? Get below the physical and tap into the spiritual. So that's challenge number one. So that's why they were going around digging wells to give the Jewish children who come after them the ability to break through the physical and find the water, find the spirituality. We can do it. We have the avos, especially Yitzhak, and it makes sense. Yitzhak is midas adin. He's very strong, so he can break through the physical and get to the spiritual. Like over here, these guys, you watch them as they're digging with the big machines, and they break through the ground. It's at the corner, you see. It's very hard work to break through the ground to get to the lower levels. But Jews have that ability to do it. That comes from Yitzhak. Yitzhak, that was his greatness. He broke through the physical and became purely spiritual. That's all he was. Because his physical was nullified. So that's the symbol of digging the wells. That's number one. Okay. Now, once you get to the water, there's another problem, which is a very interesting problem, another challenge. A person becomes spiritual. There's something about everything in life. We'll experience the following thing. When you begin it, it's a good thing, a good experience. We get very excited. think back to the beginning of this year, how excited you were when you came to the yeshiva and even the college. And I may mention that, I think, at some point during the first month, which was the college was just beginning to run. And so everybody, Chodesh Elul, was very, very strong. People were learning. Every day was full. All the boys are here and learning. And I knew from all my years of experience that this is going to last 1 month. After Sukkot, people come back. College kicks in. A lot of hard work. As time goes on, it's going to be a struggle to keep it going. So the thing is, that original excitement is tremendous. It's a very big motivator. I'm starting something fresh. I'm getting excited. That's why by a wedding, you go to a wedding. I was at a wedding the other night. Oh, the chassan is so happy. He's dancing and dancing and singing. And it's like unlimited joy. Fast clock forward 25 years later. He's still married, but is he jumping from joy? Is he singing? I'm married. I have my wife. He wakes up in the morning and goes out of bed and gets a coffee. He says good morning to his wife, goes to work. The excitement is not there. So it's a terrible thing, because the excitement and the simcha is a tremendous motivator to do things. So it's a tremendous problem. How does one keep the excitement going? How do you keep being excited? How do you avoid falling into the trap of routine? And routine is a killer, because routine destroys the enthusiasm, and the person just gets into a rut. So that's also part of this digging of the wells, because the wells were spring water. It was fresh water. In other words, this water kept on bubbling. New water was coming because it's flowing from underground streams and cisterns and so on. Every day you go there, you find fresh new water. So it means that the excitement kept going. So what Yitzchak is trying to do symbolically is a very important symbolic action of a prophet for the future generations. First of all, to have the ability to break through the physical barrier to get to the spiritual life. And second, once you're in that spiritual life, to stay fresh, not to become stale. Fresh. We see, I'm a Rebbe, so I'm in the spiritual life all the time, but I have to struggle not to get stale, to keep excitement. If I have excitement, then it's good. If I get into a rut, doing the same things, then it's no good. It's like stale bread. Fresh bread out of the oven is great. Stale bread has no taste. So even when you break through the physical, you get into the spiritual, you have another issue of staying fresh. So he says that Yitzhak, by digging the wells, he was giving us these two abilities. Ability number one, to break through the physical and get to the spiritual. Ability number two, to stay fresh, fresh water. That's what that pasuk says. Mayim amukim belev, mayim amukim eitzah belevish. There's very deep water inside the human breast. Ish tivuna yedlen, a smart person knows how to get it out and to keep it flowing. Right. This is the basic idea. So now, let's understand. So he says, quotes a Medrash here. Medrash says that Yitzhak, depends how you count, but Yitzhak either dug four wells or dig five wells, depends how you count the wells in the parasha, because some of those wells were Avraham Avinu's wells. So one mandama says, no, it's four wells, Abba, and the four camps in the desert. Jews, when the desert had four sides. And the other one says, no, it was five wells, we're going to count Avraham's wells that he redug. So it's five wells. And the five wells are like the five books of the Torah. That's the end of the Medrash. It's what you call a Medrash Pliya. It's a Medrash which is, at first blush, incomprehensible. What does that have to do, Yitzchak's wells have to do with the four camps in the desert? Or Yitzchak's wells have to do with the five books of Moses? What's the Medrash comparing these two things? So he says that the Medrash is exactly focusing on these two points, breaking through the physical barrier to get to the spiritual. And once you're in the spiritual, to stay excited, to stay fresh. He says like this, what's the pshat of four camps? What's the pshat of four camps? The person doesn't know where to go. So he looks in the desert, doesn't know where does he live? There's a lot of people there. 700,000 people. He was invited anyway, he forgot. So where does he live? So he looks up and he sees flags. There's a flag for Reuven and a flag for Shimon. He knows he comes from Shimon. Shimon has a flag. He goes there to Shimon's flag. Once he finds Shimon's flag and he knows that he's there, then he can find his house. So in other words, you need a signpost. He says that's what it means. In order to break through, when you have this physical barrier, you don't know what to do with it. You have to find a flag. That flag will tell you, go here, dig here, push here, we'll break through over here. After a certain flag post, signs. That's what he says. I see that you have a certain explanation. What are these flags? You have a way of explaining it?
I don't know what they are.
What are the flags? He doesn't say. A lot of times Shemesh Shmuel gives you these very nice ideas, but he doesn't carry it through the practical implementation. That's what I find is the weakness of his Sefer. I like his Sefer very much. I think he has fantastic ideas. But he lacks the implementation level. He doesn't give you the practice. He tells you the flag. I'm sorry. This idea is fantastic. There is a physical barrier of spirituality, correct? And I need some kind of roadmap with flags, signposts, to know how to go pierce through the physical. Like these guys, when they're digging in the street, they have a map which tells them where to dig and how much to dig. It's all planned out before. There's a pre-plan so they know how to dig. Yeah, you need a map. You need a roadmap. How to break through the physical and get to the spiritual. That he doesn't tell you what it is. That he leaves up almost always. He doesn't tell you what to do. He just says, this is the idea, not do it. What do you think?
He's definitely not referring to Torah, though. Because
no, Torah would be the other commandment.
Right? It's like a personal kind of thing.
Right. He's not talking about the Torah be the other thing, to keep it fresh. That he'll say the other thing. That learning Torah has the ability to keep things fresh.
Has their own flags.
But flags is not through the Torah. That's your own flag. So what is it? How do you find the flags which get you to the right place to break through?
Sometimes in life you have the flags.
Sometimes you're fortunate. You see the flags. Let's say a person's born into a very Torah religious from family. So his family is there. So he has the flag which tells him how to go. How to know what to do, how to go through it. Sometimes you marry a girl, she's very spiritual. She has it. You may not have it yet. So she leads you. That's also good. It's a flag. A wife can be a flag. A family can be a flag. Sometimes a Rebbe, of course, could be a flag, because your Rebbe is a model. What other flags are there? Sometimes I think history can be a flag. Let's say today, I believe very much a person should react to the phenomenon of the State of Israel. The State of Israel is such an amazing historical event for the Jews. We were in exile for 1,800, 900 years. We were subjugated for more than 2,000. The Romans came in much earlier. So 2,000 years or so of terrible exile. For the Holocaust, not so long ago. Now I have a State of Israel. It's a tremendous flag. Spiritual. This is the way to go. Go with the State of Israel. You get to Hashem. You get to spirituality, because it's a fulfillment of all the prayers and all the psukim in the Torah that this is going to happen. And it did. So we have to react to it. That's what I feel very strongly about, using the state of Israel as a spiritual flag. Go to Israel, learn in Israel, live in Israel. I believe in it very much. There could be historical flags, you know, national flags. There could be flags of the holidays. People get very excited about holidays. It's a Hanukkah. Hanukkah's coming up. It's a tremendous inspirational. It can be used as a tremendous source of inspiration. Hanukkah. The Hasidim say, which I try to do, you light Hanukkah candles, sit down and look at the candles for half an hour. Don't budge. Do a meditation, looking at the flames. Just look at them for half an hour. You'll find an amazing spiritual experience. You should do it. All the Hasidim, the great Hasidim, they look at the Hanukkah candles as a flag, as a degel to spirituality. Some people go to the mikveh. You go to the mikveh. That's a degel. Some people go to the mikveh of Shabbos because they're a tremendous source of spirituality. They get out of the mundane. They're in a mikveh. So as we see, there can be many different flags to get you to the right degel, to get you to the right location. You just have to, you yourself have to discover and use those, the golem, those flags, to get to the Mayim Amukim, get to the deep waters. I don't know which one is the one for any one of us. We all have to figure out what it is which gets us to the goal.
You need a flag to figure out what your flags are.
Okay, this is the flag. Shem Shmuel, Page Reish, Pei Beis. He's the flag. He's telling us. Okay, now the other thing is, how do you keep it fresh? Once you're there, how do you keep it from getting stale and routine? So he says that's the other mandama with the five books of Moses. The Mishachum Shatorah. He says Torah was given, Hashem put into Torah a certain spiritual energy called freshness. Stay fresh. That is an absolutely true fact. A person who is shakua in Torah, he's really deeply embedded in learning Torah, discovers that it's almost always fresh and exciting. It's not something stale. I'm reviewing something I know already, going over it again and again. It's always fresh. It has an amazing, it's a spiritual thing God put into the Torah to keep it b'chol yom chadosh. It's fresh. So if you're feeling in a rut, which I guess is common, learn Torah deeply. Discover a fresh energy which will wake you up. That's what he says. It's a phenomenon. It's very true. I learned with the Rabbi Soloveitchik for many, many years. I started with him when he was about 16. I finished with him his last year. I was with him from 60 till the last year, over 20 years. His last year was about 82. He was always fresh. It was amazing. It was an amazing energy. You start to learn. He would walk in. A lot of times he would walk in and see he's like very tired. He seemed to have like a little bit of a depressed attitude. I don't know why. He was a little schleppy. He'd start learning, and all of a sudden he'd come to life and he'd become 50 years younger. And it's booming. Amazing. So I saw in my own eyes many times how the Torah woke him up. Very fresh. Very fresh. Fresh energy. He speaks about it. There's a famous speech he once gave. How when he's learning Torah, it's basically his teaching. He says, I'm 80 years old, and I'm sitting with boys who are 20, And I feel 80 when I sit down, but after 2 minutes of starting to learn Torah with them, all of a sudden I feel like I'm 20. I feel like I'm their age and I have energy. He himself describes it as a bit enough, and you'll find his writings, you'll find it. It's a famous article that he wrote, how Torah gave him a recharge. But the Shema Shmuel, he explains it deeply. He says, because Torah is Chayim, Torah is a source of life, it gives you life energy. Torah, he says, we say the bracha, bracha to Hashem, no saying HaTorah, God's giving the Torah the second. It's a present tense. We don't say Nosan, he gave us. We say no saying, he's giving us the Torah. Because it's mamash the first second. Ki layom, nitna m'sinai. The Gemara says every day, you should think that I got it from Sinai. And then the Gemara says that just like a baby sucks milk and gets so excited over the milk, that's the same milk the baby had yesterday, 2 days ago. The answer is, it tastes fresh. So Torah is like that. Torah, kol pam, after the Torah, you always find something fresh about it. So that's what gives you this freshness, not to get stale. He says it all goes back to Yitzchak's digging the wells. And of course, a well, Be'er Ma'am Chaim, of course, is Torah. Torah is always compared to fresh water. Right? That's from Mishle's for that comparison. So that's the Be'er of Yitzchak, the Korach of Torah, and it's very nice. He calls one well, he calls him Be'er Ma'am Chaim. So the water of life is the Torah, literally life. It means energy to be awake. Should be zocher to find the flags, and be zocher for the Torah to keep it, the energy alive.